Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. What's up, everybody? It's Lee from Lee the Keys. Back here to this week. We got a lot to talk about. We got the UFC 247 review. We're going to talk about John Jones. We're going to talk about the decision. We're going to talk about what's next for John. We're going to talk about his legacy. We're going to talk about Valentina's dominance at 125. We're going to talk about the latest Conor news. And then we're going to talk about Corey Anderson and Yan Blachowicz, who fight this weekend, probably for the right to fight John Jones next if the UFC doesn't get past an immediate rematch. But what's up, Keys? What are you doing today?
Yeah, so that's actually – There's a little bit of an update with that because I was actually in the barber's chair getting my hair cut, and you know, we were talking barbershop stuff, but anyways, I was actually scrolling through Twitter at the same time, and I just noticed
I saw John Jones say a tweet, and he said, tell Uncle Dana to send the money or send the check or something like that. And I was like, oh man, like what? I had to click it to see what it was in response to. And the person who had tweeted him said something along the lines of like, prove you're the champ and like give Dominic Reyes, give Reyes a rematch. And that was Jones's response. He said, tell Uncle Dana to send the check. So, I mean, it sounds like to me that he's game for a rematch, so I mean,
well,
I don't doubt that. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's just jump into it. So I had to fight 3 rounds of 2 Jones. I had Reyes win in the first round. The second and third rounds were kind of hard to score, and I had Jones win in rounds 4 and 5. A lot of people were saying that Reyes was wrong. I felt in rounds 4 and 5, Reyes was doing a lot of running. I think he got gassed somewhere during the third round, and it actually showed in the 4th and 5th rounds. We're going to jump into this a little later, but how did you score the fight, man?
So I had the fight like this. So you had the first round – I really got to watch it again, but I could definitely give you just a run back. Okay, so the first round, I want to say I gave that to Reyes. So the first round, Reyes came out swinging. I thought he landed some good shots. So he had the first round there. Second round, I feel like Jones started – he understood what Reyes was doing with the striking, and he was starting to pick up on a lot of the patterns and the combos that Reyes was throwing, and he basically, from my perspective, he was reading everything that Reyes was throwing in the second round, and he was doing a great job at defending it and really making Reyes did not land. Jones made it so he basically he defended and dodged a lot of the shots that Reyes was throwing in the second. I felt like most of the strikes that people thought Reyes was landing in the second, they really weren't paying attention close enough to notice that really not a lot of those strikes were landing. So the second round I gave to Jones because I thought defensively it was perfect. The third round, I want to say I gave that to Reyes. And then the 4th and 5th round, I gave both of those to Jones. Because I feel like he carried the rest of the fight from there. And the fight was in his hands. Reyes slowed down a lot. You know, he was still in the fight in the 4th round. Reyes wasn't, you know, he didn't look down and out, but he definitely slowed down from the pace he was at rounds 1 through 3. So, yeah, off that one watch, I would give Jones rounds 2, 4, and 5. So, Jones 3-2.
Okay. Now, this was a big point of contention for people that thought Reyes had won the fight. The talk of the US that are judging in UFC. So I want to say Monday, maybe Sunday even or early Monday, the state of Kansas say they will have open judging during their live events. So basically what that means is at the end of each round or between rounds, the judges' scorecards will be viewed. I know I have been a proponent of let's see, you know, how the judges score the fights. But I heard Max Kellerman talking about boxing one day. And he kind of changed my opinion on open judging. He said that the judge's scorecard or the judge's decision adds as much intrigue to a fight as the fight itself, because you are sitting there waiting to hear how the fight was scored. I think if you go to open judging, that would take some of the intrigue away from the fight, but it also it takes a little bit of the intrigue away from the fight, but as a fight fan, it also lets you know what a particular judge is looking for when they're judging a fight. My question to you, Keys, is I know that I have been a proponent of open judging, but I'm kind of changing on that stance a little bit only because of the intrigue. What's your stance on open judging?
So you've really been, if listeners have, you know, been on listening to our show for a minute, they would probably know that Lee was saying this years ago, that he was calling for that kind of round by round, you know, have the judges give up how they're scoring each round, kind of like how they do in a lot of boxing fights. You know, you can see like the unofficial scorecards like for the whole round, and you know, you've been pushing for that, so you really sold me on that idea. I definitely think, in my opinion, I like that they're gonna do it. No, I think that's a good thing. I was actually pretty excited when I saw that Kansas, you know, the state of Kansas was going to start implementing that. But at the same time, I didn't know about that, what you were just saying, that, you know, about what Max Kellerman said about how, you know, that's a big part of, you know, the intrigue in a fight is to just see, you know, at the end of a fight, how the judges scored, you know, what the final score would come to without having known how they were scoring each round. So if you had known, like, who had won every round, like, for example, with the last Deontay Wilder fight. So I watched the last Deontay Wilder fight when he rematched Luis Ortiz. And one thing that we would have known there is that if you're just going to go – so where boxing is only based off of – I mean, I don't really know how the breakdown of the judging is, but I don't know, like, what – other elements they're really going off, but if they're just going off, like if you're going to have a fight and one guy lands more, you know, I don't know if they call it significant strikes or power punches or what they call it in boxing, but
power punches.
They call it power punches.
Yep. Anything okay, that's so, not a jab is considered a power punch.
Okay. So if they count power punches, one thing I would know based off the last fight, if Wilder didn't get that knockout in the seventh round, you would have known that Wilder was about to lose his first ever fight because if I remember correctly, Ortiz had outstruck him every round up until he was knocked out in the seventh round. It was close, but Luis Ortiz did. Now that maybe Wilder had got one round. I remember it was Ortiz had the majority of the rounds, if not all the rounds, you know, of course, before the knockout. So if it were up to that and you were seeing that, and I would have known that Ortiz had already won the fight, and if you're going off what Max Kellerman said, you would then conclude, like, okay, we already knew that Wilder is about to – we knew he was about to lose pretty much what was, you know, one of the – I guess you could say one of the biggest fights of his, you know, on his resume and what would be, you know, the biggest moment in Luis Ortiz's, beating an undefeated heavyweight like Deontay Wilder, probably the biggest moment in his career. I don't know that much about his career or really to that point, but I would think that's a huge moment. And we would have already known what the result was going to be just because we already saw, you know, the unofficial scorecards for that fight. So I would have known that, and that probably would have took away a lot of shock value because I could already see Wilder was losing all the rounds, you know, and that tends to be a thing with him. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that when you bring up what Max Kellerman said, that makes a good point, is that, you know, it is definitely the anticipation builds when you're waiting to see, you know, what judges had for, you know, all five rounds in a title fight, or even some three-round, you know, a lot of three-round fights even have that same feel, just waiting to see the final scores. Like, oh, was it, you know, get the 30-28, you know, all that. Like, so, I don't know. I could see both sides. I wouldn't mind if they tested it out, but at the same time, I could see, you know, what he was saying with that. So, and I'm kind of 50-50 on it.
I think if they were to test it out, I'd rather them test it out at a fight night event than a pay-per-view card. Only reason I say that is because you don't want the judging to be the main thing everybody is focusing on. You know what I'm saying? Especially with it being live for the first time or whatever, you know, them doing it for the first time or whatever. So if they was to do it, I'd rather be at a fight night card. That way, you know, I know a fight night card, normally some of the fight night cards are normally pretty loaded. But I would rather it be tested out in a fight night card than debuted at a pay-per-view card, because I think a lot of the attention will be on the scoring of the fights instead of the actual fights themselves. So, you know, one thing about judging, I heard Ariel Helwani was talking after the fight. He said the judges don't get paid a lot. He was like, some judges, there isn't a specific rule book that judges have to follow to judge a fight. All judges don't look at the same thing equally. So I think what people have to realize is, just like when you're watching a NFL game, an NBA game, that refereeing is subjective to that what that person sees. And most of the time, I'm not going to say most of the time, all of the time is basically a judgment call. So, you know, we can't be too hard on the judges in close fights. But that one judge that had it 49-46, I don't know what fight he was watching. There is no way Reyes only won one round. If anything, you have to say Reyes won either rounds one and two, or one and three. There's no way he only won round one in that fight. So, you know, that's the only issue I had with the judges from Saturday. But, you know, I know that you posted a question on Twitter the other day, and I found it an interesting question. And I think my answer was probably as interesting to you what you posed. You said something to the effect that, is John Jones losing his edge? You know, well, I ain't gonna say you said he was losing his edge, but it was kind of sort of to that effect. And then I replied that, you know, Jones has made tactical errors in his last fight. And actually, isn't it good for the champ to be challenged? Do we want our champions running through the challenges like, you know, like Valentina is doing now and like DJ did in the past? A lot of people feel like that's hurting his legacy with these close fights, but I kind of disagree with that. I think it helps his legacy. You don't want a champion to be so dominant that you don't even want to tune in and they fight because you already know the outcome. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel about Jones right now? How do you feel about his fighting style? You know, how he go about approaching these fights? What's on your mind?
Okay, so my thing is that, all right, so I want to just, because this is kind of a, maybe a cliche thing to say, but there's a lot to unpack here with this. So one is, I want to go back, just to backtrack a little bit to what you just previously said before that, and then I'm going to go into that. These two things are kind of like interrelated, so it works. Oh yeah, we do have a caller in the queue right now. Hold on. So I'm gonna I just want to respond to what you just said real quickly, and I'm gonna get the caller into here. So I don't think he's losing his edge. And I didn't really mean to make it sound like he was losing. I just think it's just that he's become, you know, like I was said in the second round. I feel like the way Jones performed in the second round really sums up where he's at now. He's just at a point where it's like, He read Dominic Reyes the whole entire second round. Like, from what my eyes saw, as you say, doing the eye test, I saw Jones reading everything that he was throwing. And I don't know if that's just from, like, you know, me watching like almost every UFC event for a couple of years now, but I could just start to see the other side of things because, you know, a couple of years ago, I probably would have said, oh, well, Jones really didn't put up much offense, so I would think that he lost the round. But really, when you're looking at it on the other side of the fence, you can see Jones was actually making reads on everything Reyes was throwing. I mean, he said it in the presser. He said, straight left, straight left, straight left. That's all you throw. And he kind of showed that. I mean, Reyes was throwing some uppercuts. He had different things in there, but Jones had him figured out after that first round. So I don't think he's losing his edge. He's approaching the fights in a different way, but still in a winning fashion. He's now having classics. You know, guys have gotten better, and he's having classics. That's the thing. And on that point, I'm going to jump the caller into the call right now, and we can see what their opinion is. Hello, who we got on the line?
It's Josh.
And Gabe.
Yo.
What's up, bro?
Josh and Gabe,
yo,
bro.
What's up, brother?
Hey.
What's going on?
How y'all doing?
I like your analysis. I agree.
It's deep right now. It's definitely, I had to get a little bit thorough because, you know, it's tough. Like, there's a ton of people saying that, I just got to give a little bit of background. Hold on. So, Lee, actually, these are some of my boys. I actually watched the fight. We all watched the fight together on Saturday night.
Facts, dude. It was a lit night, dude.
Yeah, so
what's
just
up,
from back.
Welcome to the show.
Great fight.
Thank you.
Oh, so let me ask you guys this. I just asked a question to Keys, and I'm gonna ask it to you guys. You know, a lot of people on social media this weekend were saying that John Jones has lost his edge. He's not as good as he used to be. Some people even said that he's bored with the light heavyweight division because of the outcome of his last two fights. I don't know how well versed you guys are in UFC, but what do you think about that? What's your take?
I'd say Jones is a very tactical fighter, like Keys was saying. It depends on who his opponent is, and he can, like, change his style based off of how the other fighter is going up against him. I mean, look at it, dude. You know, we can say all we want that he's losing his edge. He's still winning the fight, you know. And it takes a lot to beat a champion, and these guys just aren't doing enough where they can literally, you know, take the title from him. You know, I'd say the Jones-Reyes fight was, you know, he gave a good fight. I think Jones maybe underestimated Reyes a little bit. It was definitely closer than I think he would have liked it to be. I'd say Jones definitely won the fight. But it was close. It was a good fight. You know, it was a more entertaining fight to watch than the previous, like, two or three fights we've seen from Jones. I forget who he fought maybe two or three fights ago, but
Anthony
it was
Smith.
Literally a complete, like, defensive fight from Jones. You know, it was just, like, all up against the fence. You know, it was, like, not a very good fight to watch.
Yeah. Did he lose his edge? Probably not. Is he maybe a little comfy? I think there's enough.
Yeah, he's probably very comfortable in the division. He's not scared of anyone.
I think Reyes made him feel a little uncomfortable for the first time in a while, though, just from my eyes. I'm fairly new to the UFC myself, but just from what I've seen, I saw just what he said after the fight, too, you know, how much respect he had for Reyes after, even though I know there was a little bit of tension beforehand. I think I think this might have woken him up, and I think the next fight we see from him is when we'll know if he lost his edge. I think
might be a rematch with Reyes.
Right, right. That, you know, that could be it.
What do you guys think about that?
Okay.
You think it's going to be a rematch? Or?
Well, see, wait, that actually just brings up a really good – that was a great idea, and I'm actually kind of excited now because good point, Lee, that you said earlier was that it changes, and I meant to respond to you saying it, was that it's now – and you know, you said this on Twitter that you said it's not. How does a close fight like that like hurt? Because I think I said it can hurt Jones's legacy to have these close call fights. But you kind of looked at it in an opposite way and said, well, really, you know, he's more or less making classics, and this is what, you know, great fighters are about. They have these, you know, type of fights which could be a great rivalry, you know, kind of like the fights with DC that kind of brought him. And I'm not saying that he didn't win both fights. He was dominant, but just having that rivalry, you know, these type of classics is going to bring out the best in him the next time. And you might probably see another classic. Like at this stage of his career, he's putting on classic performances. It's not like, you know, when he was, you know, 20-25, you know, getting highlight reel knockouts. His style has changed, and he's taking a new approach to the game. He's putting on classic fights, and I think actually to what they said, it kind of got me excited, is that, you know, the rematch, I feel like this could create a little rivalry between Jones and Reyes. And I feel like because of the fact that Jones might have, you know, overlooked Reyes a little bit and thought, you know, maybe a little bit less of him than what, you know, the performance he actually had, like that's going to spark a flame in Jones for the rematch. And if the rematch happens, you know, you'll probably see him come into the fight in potentially a much different way, and we'll see, you know, something, you know, unexpected. Something might, it's going to pop off even more because Reyes,
well, Reyes
probably
too.
Has a chip on his shoulder too.
Wow.
Yeah, Reyes
but
with a chip on his shoulder.
About,
and Jones. Yeah, go ahead.
But the only thing about that, though, is that if you look at the second time Jones has fought a guy, look at what he did to him the second time. Look at the second time he fought DC. Look at the second time he fought Gustafson. Those fights was no contest. He dominated him in the second fight.
So, yeah, that's what I was going to suggest that honestly, like, Jones fighting someone else for the second time, it's almost too much of a tactical advantage for Jones. Someone who's so strategic-based, you know, it's like he has even more film on you now, you know, not just you fighting another opponent. He has actual film of him, like the opponent fighting him, you know, which I feel like for a guy like that is, you know, very useful information that he can use to the opponent's advantage.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think the problem with Jones right now, y'all can let me know if y'all agree or disagree, is I think he's trying to beat these guys at their game. Like, he fought Santos and made it a kickboxer match. Why would you do that? Everybody knows Santos can't wrestle. Santos can't get up off his back. So why wouldn't you use your reach advantage to pepper him with your jab, feint, and then take him down and then punish him with your elbows? And then with Reyes, he tried to make it a stand-up fight. I mean, Jones actually showed in that fight that he has a hell of a chin, but why take unnecessary punishment when we know that Reyes against Uzdemir couldn't get off his back? So if he couldn't get off his back against Uzdemir, do you really think he's going to get off his back against John Jones? No. So I think Jones needs to get back to what made him so dominant, and that was using his wrestling, using his length, using his reach, and using his elbows as weapons of mass destruction. We haven't seen that since the Gustafson fight. So, hopefully,
lost his edge?
I don't think he lost his edge. I think he's trying to show people that he can win fights in more ways than one. And to me, that's just not smart.
Well, because now it's like, he goes out of his way to pretty much, like, fight with his opponent's style. So he kind of tries to do whatever this guy is, like, good at. Like, okay, he can't do anything with me
if it's on the, you know, if I take it to the ground. So I'm just going to, like, throw hands with this guy because that's the only way he can beat me and just show people that I can beat him at his own game. That just seems – that's pretty much what Jones is at to me, at least with, like, his last three fights.
Yeah, but that's not smart, though. Look how much punishment he took in his last two fights. I mean, he dominated Anthony Smith, but look at how much punishment he took against Santos, and look how much punishment he took against Reyes. To me, that's just not smart. Let me throw this question out here to everybody. I put something on Twitter probably about 10, 15 minutes ago. You know, everybody said John should move up to heavyweight. All right, we know how dominant he's been at light heavyweight. Let's just say he moves up to heavyweight and he loses to Stipe. And then he loses to, let's say, Nagano. Do you think moving up and losing hurts his GOAT status? Because basically, he would have to move back down to light heavyweight to reestablish himself as far as being a dominant fighter. Am I right in that assessment, or am I wrong in that assessment?
Wait, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Damn, Keith. Okay, so you know everybody said that John should move up to heavyweight, right? So let's say he moves up to heavyweight, right? And he loses to Stipe, and then he loses to Francis McDonald. What happens to his GOAT status? Does his GOAT status take a hit, or does he will he have to go back down to light heavyweight to reestablish himself? That's a good question, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck right there. So I think the first time I heard what you said, but I was so baffled by it. You had to reassure me with the question for me to try to like process it. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he knows that it's probably just better he just stay at light heavyweight. I feel like he probably knows that, and that's why he's like, you know, that's why like sometimes it seems like he wants to move up, and sometimes it doesn't. I feel like right now he really wants to move up for like certain, you know, that certain fight, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like these, you know, it could. I mean, if he were to lose to a guy at heavyweight, people would definitely want to see a rematch. Like, I think he would, if he were to lose at heavyweight, but then and come back and win in the rematch, then it would be okay. But I mean, because like, you know, we've seen that before. Like, as long as you can get that win back, then like, you're pretty much good. But if you lose to a guy and you can't get that win back, then it kind of puts a damper on it. Like, you kind of like DC, like he lost to Jones twice, and like we all know he probably can't get that win back. And I feel like that kind of just weighs down on his greatness, because like it's very slim that he would beat Jones.
But I think that works against – I think when DC moved out of heavyweight and won the heavyweight belt from Stipe, it kind of erased those losses against John, because people that are in the DC corner say he should have never fought at light heavyweight. And heavyweight is his natural division. So I see what you're saying. What you guys think on the phone? Are they still with us?
Yeah, we're here. Well, I'm here. Gabe
okay.
Just went to go get some food.
So you think if Joe moves up to heavyweight and loses, let's say, his first two fights at heavyweight, do you think that hurts his GOAT status?
So first of all, I don't think that would happen. I think worst case scenario, maybe he loses one out of two, but I don't even see that happening. Oh, he wants to. He's stated that he wants to move up to heavyweight. Like, he's almost like bored of the lightweight division, light heavyweight division. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
But like from the hypothetical that you're stating, if he were to move up, like it would be a big deal for sure. You know, like if he were to lose, in the heavyweight division, it would be a big deal. You know, it'd get a lot of attention. Just him losing in general is a big deal, you know? So him moving up and then losing, you know, it would probably be like one of those immediate rematch type deals, you know, like in terms of his GOAT status. I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, can you compare Jones to anyone else right now in terms of like what he's done in the UFC and like his dominance in the UFC? So if he were to lose one fight by risking it moving up a weight class, do I think he'd lose his GOAT status? No, maybe not. If he were to like lose two or three fights in the heavyweight division, yeah, I could see some question marks about his GOAT status for sure, you know, but I don't think that would happen, you know. I could see him going up to the heavyweight division, maybe winning a couple fights and then coming back down to light heavyweight. I mean, I guess it all depends on like how he feels about the heavyweight division, you know, if he likes being at that weight, the type of competition at that weight class, you know. There's a lot of variables at stake, obviously, you know. I mean, that's the UFC for sure, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think his GOAT status would be too tarnished if he were to say, you know, lose one or two fights in the heavyweight division. I think the GOAT status would still be intact.
I mean, cause hey, kinda, like you could, well, Lee, look at this though, because someone said the
I
other
like
day,
that guy, Keith.
You like that guy?
I like that guy.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Cause...
I like that guy, man. He thinks like me.
Thanks.
I'm glad.
All right, man. Hey, Cheese, we got to go rapid fire here. We got like 25 minutes left in the show. I want to talk about your boy, man. The ladies. Go ahead.
All I want to say, and this is my last thing on that, is that you know, they said how Khabib is 28-0. Someone said this the other day. They said Khabib is 28-0, but Jones is whatever he is. I think he's 27-1 or 28-1 now. So.
And that, oh, dude, don't get me started with that. That one too. That should be
right.
That should be a no contest. That
right, yeah.
No, it's considered a loss, right, guys? Isn't it considered an actual loss in a record?
It was a DQ, so they consider it as a loss, but that's a whole nother faction.
Because Zero
right
was
there.
The no contest. Or,
exactly.
Decision.
No one else had
No, there's people that are like 25-2-1.
Yeah, so they. So what someone said the other day.
Kind of like
Khabib
a tie in the last column. It's kind of like sports.
Yeah, like it, the DQ counts as a loss, but they were saying like Khabib 28-0, but Jones 28-1. They finally have the same amount of wins. How come Khabib is not number one pound for pound, but Jones is? But Khabib doesn't have a loss. But the thing is, too, at the same time is
because he's
rushing. Look who Jones has fought though, and Khabib has fought like only like four guys that are even tough. Like he's fought a bunch of bums, bunch of fucking bums. Like Jones, like if you look at the resumes. It's kind of, like, sad to even, like, compare those two resumes. So, like, to say 28, yeah, you fought 28, but you fought, like, Joe Schmo, who works at UPS. Like, you didn't fight anybody who knows anything. You know what I'm saying? You fought, like, you know, you fought, like, your overweight, somebody's overweight, like, stepdad. Like, these guys aren't anybody. Like, Jones fought, like, the best guys, like, from every country, like, all over the world. Like, that, you know, world-renowned fighters, like, you know, 80%, you know, no, 85% of Khabib's resume, nobody ever even heard of these guys. And a lot of them have, like, negative records. A lot of them are, like, some of the guys, you know, 0-5 he's got on his thing. You know, guys that didn't even have wins when he fought them. So Jones is fighting guys that are, like, you know, the best from all over. So it don't even make any sense to compare those two things. But and the thing is, too, is that if he had a loss, look at the guys he lost to, though. He'd move up and challenge himself, fight the best guys. So I think that's what helped the DC, too, is that at least, you know, somebody he lost is because he's challenging himself to fight the best guys. Khabib does not only just recently started challenging himself to fight better guys. And for a long time, he fought absolutely nobody, so nobody ever heard of and probably never will. So, but that's just my thing on that. So the DQ is really whatever. And the heavyweight.
Real quick, did we talk about that wrestling style fight with, what was his name?
Lee, were you about to bring that up, or were you gonna bring up something different? Because he's talking about the Derrick Lewis fight.
Yeah, just a quick commentary on it. Nothing like long term, but if you don't want to, it's cool. No worries.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna talk about my man Key's favorite fighter, Conor McGregor. There was some things.
Oh, heck yeah! No, let's
hop
on that topic.
Yeah, there was some things circling around today on Twitter with Conor being laid up with a young lady that wasn't his wife. You know, and people was talking about, you know, Khabib was right about Conor cheating on his wife. But the news that I really wanted to talk about while Conor is Manny Pacquiao just signed a deal with Conor McGregor's management company. Should we be worried about Conor making a return to the octagon, or should we be looking forward to Conor McGregor fighting Manny Pacquiao? How you guys feel about that?
Yeah, that's a snooze to me. That's a snooze right there. I'm just gonna lean over. I'm gonna lean over from my bed. And I'm going to see the alarm going off for the fight, and I'm going to hit snooze, and I'm going to go right the fuck back to sleep like Congreve.
Well, I think Pacquiao signing with his management company might not be what everybody is thinking it is. You know that that's what
I think the fight's
going to
happen.
You think it's going to happen?
I think if the money's right for Conor, it's going to happen.
They
offer like 150 mil, dude. Boxing is heavy money, some serious money.
Exactly. But the only thing I will have a problem with is Pacquiao isn't going to carry him. Pacquiao ain't going to carry him like Mayweather did. Pacquiao is going to get in there and fight him like he's a regular old boxer. So I would be worried about that if Von Connor's camp. Because Mayweather did carry him for quite a few rounds, although Conor did win some rounds, I don't think Pacquiao is going to be that giving and that merciful. I think he's going to come out and treat it like a real fight, and I think it will be over probably within 3 to 4 rounds.
Oof. The Mayweather fight went, what, 10 rounds? 9 rounds?
Yeah, something like that. I think it went 10 rounds.
Last time they fought, it was UFC, right?
Who?
Pacquiao.
No, boxing.
It was boxing that time, too?
Mayweather?
No, Pacquiao.
Pacquiao, I don't think he was in the UFC.
When he fought McGregor, did they fight?
Pacquiao? No, Pacquiao didn't fight McGregor.
Oh, shit.
No, McGregor boxed Mayweather. That was the only time that the two, like, interluded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Keys, we got another call in the queue.
Oh, let's go.
Okay, hold up. I'm going to jump him into the call right now. Yo, what's up, Evan?
How you doing?
Evan, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Oh, man, old school. We old school Keys tonight, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
All right, Evan.
I told Evan this was going to be a big one. We had to get the council in here.
All right, Evan. So let me ask you this, man. I just threw out a question to Keys about Conor. You know, I saw the little video of Conor laying in the bed with the chick. Everybody saying that, you know, Conor messed out here cheating on his wife with 4s and 5s. And then it was other news came out that Manny Pacquiao signed with Conor's management company. So do you think we see Conor in the octagon first, or do you think we see him in the boxing ring next, and why?
Most definitely, I think I can guarantee you that Conor will go to boxing before Pacquiao ever steps foot in an octagon. I just, like, Pacquiao, obviously, he's one of the greatest boxers of all time. I just don't know. I don't even think we will ever see Floyd in an octagon. I just don't think certain boxers will ever make that jump. But
Let me rephrase that real quick. What I asked was, will we see Conor in a boxing ring next, or will we see him in the octagon next for his next fight?
Depends. It depends.
Okay,
depends on if Conor wants to go. Will Conor ever cut back to 55? You know, for anybody not named Khabib, and then just the whole Khabib Tony fight. You know, what's going to happen with that? And then obviously Justin Gaethje's right there. But I think we'll see Conor in the octagon first. Most definitely, I think we'll see Conor in the octagon again before he goes back to boxing. Because, you know, I guess it's different, but when Conor and Floyd fought and did that whole thing, that took time, and it took a lot of long time to get that going. So I don't know. You know, I think he'll do another UFC fight, and then maybe he'll jump over to boxing.
Yeah, I think that Floyd and Conor thing took like six to eight months to put together. I think it took around, I think it may have been about 6 months for them to put it together. I think the last 2 months they did like a bunch of promotional stuff. So, yeah, I think it was about 6 months.
Because after Conor beat Eddie and became, you know, double champ shit, that was November something of 2016, and Conor fought Floyd August 26th of 17. So, like you said, took some time.
Yeah. But let's talk some strictly UFC. Talk strictly UFC, man. I'm gonna throw this off to you, Keys, because actually,
McGregor boxing anybody? Boo. That's why y'all barely hear me talking on this segment, because it's all a snooze. I was just asleep.
All right, so let's get back to the UFC. Keys, I'm going to throw this out to you. Tell me about Valentina Shevchenko. Tell me something about her Tell me something about her that the world probably already knows. Would she be challenged at 125?
Will she be challenged? I almost thought you said, will she be silent? You said challenged?
Challenge.
Okay, so my thing is, I really don't see her being challenged. I feel like that last fight, I don't know. I mean, because I remember, my prediction for it, wait, do you remember? I'm going to answer your question with a question. Do you remember what I predicted for that? Did I say third round TKO?
Yep, you predicted third round TKO. I predicted, I want to say fourth round TKO.
And what was the, how'd the fight end?
Was it third round TKO or second round TKO?
I'm not sure. I might have to go to the panel and ask Evan, because I actually don't remember.
I believe it was
third. Valentina was a stop, but she had a stoppage. I know it was a TKO. I just don't remember the round.
Yeah, they had to talk about it. I'm going to pull it up now.
Evan, do you remember what round it was Valentina got the stoppage?
I'm almost positive it was third.
Okay, so when we did predictions, before the event, I had predicted Valentina would win by third round TKO, and she did. And I actually just connected with me now that I like predicted that right.
Of course.
And
third round TKO.
I have a thing about predicting TKOs, because the last time I predicted a title fight, I also called for a TKO. That was when Cejudo fought Moraes, and I said it was going to be a third-round TKO, and that's what it was. So I think I need to predict more third-round TKOs, because usually when I predict them, I'm right. But I don't know how it came about. Maybe it's just luck, but anywho, is that I don't think she'll be challenged, because I feel like she's just – her boxing is too clean. Her ground game is too clean. She's just so well-rounded, and it's just going to be hard to find somebody to, like, there needs to be somebody who can, like, nullify the things, like, nullify her different attacks. And it's just, like, she does so much, and, like, she throws so much at her opponents, it's going to be hard to find somebody who can stop her offense. It's going to be very hard, especially when she just does everything. You know, it's not like she's going to be, you know, it's not like she's a slouch if you take her to the ground. Like, you'll end up being a slouch if you take her to the ground. Like, that's the case in with her. So it's going to be hard, I think, to find somebody to challenge her. I don't see it happening very soon. Unless she can do a trilogy with Nunes, that'd be the only time that I could see her getting challenged, if they get that trilogy down the line.
What you think, Evan?
I agree 100%. I do not see Valentina getting challenged. I think the problem for most of the 125-pound division for the women is I want to quote something from Conor, but I can't remember exactly. But he said something about, like, length, reach, and attributes. Now, obviously, Shevchenko was at a reach disadvantage. And because you saw it, like, she was missing her punches, but she was landing the kicks. But then I remember listening to an interview from Chookagian, and she said that she was going to win by submission. And I was like, you had her on the ground, and that was it. Like, she couldn't do anything. So I think probably the two things that someone needs to beat Shevchenko is they got to be not just taller, but they actually have to be bigger. Because that's why Nunes, I feel, won. She was bigger, and she was strong enough to where she could take down Valentina. And I think that's obviously what won Nunes when they did the second fight, was the takedowns. And that's a whole other argument. But at 125, unless they get someone like Nunes with strength and genuine power for her to be fearful, I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. But I would like to see this. I know it's probably not going to happen. It's just a pipe dream. I would like to see the UFC and Bellator get together and do a one-off. Let's have Valentina Shevchenko fight Alima Lee McFarlane of Bellator. McFarlane is the champion over there at 125. Shevchenko is the champion in the UFC at 125. McFarlane has actually been talking a lot of smack about, you know, she could beat Shevchenko, la, 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 la. She could beat Nunes, whatever, whatever. So I would like for the UFC and Bellator to get together and maybe do a one-off, you know, maybe have Shevchenko go to Bellator and fight McFarlane, and then maybe have Lima come over to fight the 170 champ or whatever, you know, just do a one-off. You know, I think it'd be good for both organizations. Nothing says you have to do a whole card where, like, they did the Ryzen versus Bellator. You don't have to do a whole card. You can just do one fight as the main event. Basically, all the referees are the same. You know, the referees travel from one organization to the next, so it ain't like the referee to be a bad thing. But if that doesn't happen, I just don't think the UFC is going to have Shevchenko versus Nunes 3, because Shevchenko is 0-2 against her, and will it really strike up that much interest? I know that Nunes, you know, she's becoming a draw, but I don't think this fight will enhance her legacy as the best female fighter, you know, ever in history. So looking at the division, I just don't see anybody that, when I look down the list, I don't see anybody that I would say, wow, she would get her a fight. I mean, Roxanne Bonner Ferry, I don't think so. Jennifer Maya, she lost to Kayla Chookagian, so I don't see that happening. Joanne Calderwood, I don't know. So I just think she might be in that same situation that DJ was in, that she's so much better than her division that she might have to think about going up to 135, man, or maybe going down to 115 to fight Wally Zhang or Rose or Thug Rose when she come back. So, dang, man, it's just too bad that she doesn't have quality competition in her division. So maybe there's somebody over there in Invicta that the UFC can bring over. But I look at it like this. If they're in Invicta, they can't be as good as a UFC fighter because they're not in the UFC. So, man, I just wish they could get her some better competition, man. That's all I wish.
Yeah, I think like that kind of super fight idea that you were just talking about with having her fight the McFarlane, the Bellator champ, I think would be something a bit more interesting, you know, to give her a new kind of challenge and somebody who might be, you know, a bit closer to her caliber. I really haven't watched the McFarlane. I've actually never even watched a fight from her, so I really wouldn't know where she's at skill-wise, so I can't really, like, make a call on that. But it would, I guess, be interesting to see her fight, like, at least another champion, you know, because, you know, otherwise, unless they end up with that other fight you were talking about last week, her versus Wiley Zhang, then you really probably won't see, you know, a super fight like that where it'd be her versus another champion for a while, because Nunes probably won't. I think, you know, I don't see the trilogy happening for, you know, another while, nowhere in the near future. And then obviously she's not going to fight at 145. So, you know, that's probably the only shot you have if she doesn't fight Wiley Zhang, is to get that Bellator crossover. And Bellator has been looking to do a crossover. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. They even had, I even saw a picture of Douglas Lima and Kamaru Usman. They did a face off. So Zalto is definitely itching for some crossover fights, champion versus champion.
I
was just about to say that, Evan. I was like, I think that would just benefit both companies, man. I mean, because me personally, in my own opinion, is I look at Bellator as the B-League. That's just my own personal opinion. Because you see so many guys go from the UFC to Bellator. You saw Mr. Wonderful, I can't think of his name right now, Paul Davis, I can't think of his name. Yeah, he went down, Rory McDonald went down, Benson Henderson went down there, Larkin came up the UFC, went back down to Bellator. Bader went down there. So, to me, I always look at Bellator has been the B-League and the UFC has been the major league. But I think if you could have these crossover events, then maybe people like me would start to have a little bit more respect for Bellator if they were to beat, you know, let's say if McFarlane was to beat Shevchenko, I'd be like, wow, Otto McFarlane, she doesn't have good groundwork, and she has quality striking. I think the thing that Shevchenko would definitely dominate her in would definitely be wrestling and grappling. Go ahead, Evan.
Well, I've seen a few of Alima Lay's fights, and she's undefeated actually, which I didn't know. I didn't actually know that, but
11-0.
Yes, 11-0, and her thing is submissions. Her thing is you know, triangles and arm bars and whatever else. But to talk on the topic just real quick, I personally love the idea of a cross promotion. I think I agree with everything. I think it benefits the UFC and Bellator. Obviously, it's going to benefit Bellator more because, like you said, of the B League, but just I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk, and I have an imaginary card in my head. Like, I can list off a few just real quick. Like, main event, you know, we're not going to go too heavy, you know, in weight classes. Like, main event for a cross-promotion Bellator UFC, I would do the welterweight. I would do Usman versus Lima. And then, obviously, co-main event, I'd like to see one of the Pitbull brothers, and he can fight Khabib. You know, we could do that. we were talking Valentina versus Ali Malay, and then the fight that I want to see the most, like if they genuinely did a UFC Bellator cross promotion, the number one fight is MVP Michael Venom Page versus Wonderboy. That is the one fight that I wish and hope at some point in my life I can see, even though it might be boring because they're both that Counter-Strike and karate style. I think it would just be an exciting matchup on paper.
MVP, he fights at, what, 170?
Yep.
Oh, man. See, I just can't get the MVP knockout loss to Lima out of my head. I don't know why, but I just can't get that knockout out of my head. But would you really want to go that heavy of a card as a cross-promotional? You would really want to go that heavy?
I think the Khabib fight is probably the heaviest one. I think that one's a little too much. But I do like the idea. Take the Khabib fight out, and I think the rest of it's fine. Because Usman Lima, you know, they faced off. We've seen it. It's not like a dream anymore. It's real. We were just talking about Valentina versus Limale. I like that. And then, like I said, the MVP Wonderboy fight I think is perfect because it's neither of them are like too big with their star power, so it works out for both. And then, you know, whatever else you know you want to do, get Cejudo or somebody. Who else?
Yeah, I think I would do. If I was to do MVP, I would rather see him fight either Tyron Woodley or Leon. The winner of the Tyron Woodley, Leon Edwards fight. Not Steve, not Wonderboy. Adesanya is 185. MVP is 170.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
All right, so we got a little bit of time left. We got a big light heavyweight match coming up this weekend. We got Corey Anderson taking on Jan Blachowicz. Who y'all got, man? Start with you, Keys.
Oh, word? That's this weekend?
Yep, that's this weekend.
Let's go. Yo, that's exciting. I didn't know there was a card this weekend. I knew that was coming up. I didn't know it was this Saturday. Wow. Sick. All right, so that card is like 2 days away pretty much at this point. I'm hyped. All right, yeah, I'm definitely going to tune into that one. I'm excited to see that one. That's a good main event for me. Wow. Okay. So who I got in that one? Let me see. I mean, it's hard because like a lot of fights, you would go back and say, you would go back and look and say, you know, if I look at like, what both guys have done in the past, you might go back and say, well, Anderson, like both of these guys, have been clipped before. Both these guys, you know, you've seen, you know, get flatlined. So it's not like, but they both improved a lot. Like I remember, you know, when Corey Anderson, was knocked out by Jimmy Manua. You know, that was probably a couple of years ago now. I remember when, not that long ago, but Kovic was knocked out by Thiago Santos. You know, I've seen them both I've seen them both in bad performances, and I can think of them both in good performances. Like, both of their last fight, they both had an impressive performance. I mean, you know, Blachowicz, I think, just knocked out Rockhold in his last fight. I want to say that was his last one. And then, Anderson knocked out Johnny Walker in his last fight. But, I mean, I would say just going and looking at it, though, I feel like Blachowicz. Oh wait, no. The coach fought Jacare actually. Yeah, I think he fought Jacare in his last fight, and he won by decision. But both guys still have a big finish fairly recently. But I do think that that Corey Anderson has been challenged more as of late with the tougher fights. You know, I think he's taken the tougher opponents. You know, besides Santos, you know, in their last two or three fights each, I would say that Anderson has been taking the tougher fight and winning those fights decisively. And, I'm going to go with Anderson in this fight. I just think that Gokovic has looked, you know, he's been kind of propped up, but with the fights he's been given lately, and he's kind of on he's on a little streak in reality, but I feel like I don't think he can outlast Corey Anderson. I feel like Anderson is more well-rounded, and if the fight were to stay on the feet, which I think it might, because I feel like that's where Bukovic is most comfortable. I also don't think Bukovic is a better striker than Corey Anderson, so I'm going to go with Corey Anderson in this fight.
All right, Anderson, who you got?
This is a tough one for me. I want to go with Anderson because that's just the hype right now. You know, that's just kind of the seeds have been planted for the John Jones fight. Even though with the Reyes fight and controversy and all that, everybody's gonna have opinion. You know, but I just I just have this weird feeling that Jan's gonna take it. And I definitely think we're going to see a finish. I don't think this is going to decision at all. Definitely not five rounds. I'm going to pull a Keys. I'm going to say third round submission for Jan.
He's pulling a Keys, the third round. The third round.
Wow. Wow, Evan. Man. You know what? I was thinking the same way. I was like, Corey probably, he might be thinking a fight ahead because if he wins this fight, he should get the next title shot against John Jones. And if he loses this fight, I think it opens up the door even more for a Reyes rematch. And I'm looking at the stats. I'm looking at takedown average. Corey Anderson is at 4.98. Jan is at 1.18. Takedown accuracy, you got Jan at 52% and Corey at 50%. Everything else is pretty much basically the same. I'm going to go with Corey Anderson, man. I think he has a lot to fight for, and that can either work in his advantage or work to his disadvantage. I say Corey Anderson wins a unanimous decision. Yeah, I think he wins by unanimous decision. And I think it's going to be a good fight. And we will see what Jan Blachowicz is made out of in this fight. I think win or lose, it doesn't hurt his stock because he's fighting some of the top guys. And, you know, I think it keeps him in the title picture with a win or a loss, even though with a loss he falls back a little bit. But I do think it keeps him in the title picture. But I'm going to just make both of you guys really mad right now. Do y'all know the co-main event is Diego Sanchez versus Michelle Pereira? Why is Diego Sanchez in the co-main event?
Man, that's terrible.
I swear. Man, I swear the UFC
is so
and this Diego Sanchez is killing me.
They're hoping that stupid guy does a gymnastics tournament again.
Oh, my God, bro. That is, like, a terrible fight, man. That's a terrible fight.
Like, they got Lando Venata versus Yancy Medeiros.
Man,
that's a co-main event.
Yo, hold up, hold up. Yo, hold up.
That should be the co-main event.
Yo, remember when Kanye said, ain't no hold up? He said, ain't no hold up. Remember that on Sway years ago, Lee?
Yeah.
Ain't no hold up. This is why I had to have Evan on the show. This is why I talked to him earlier this week. I said, we need to get the council together to talk about the Jones fight. But anyways, it's because he's my boy, and that's the reason. He said exactly what I was thinking earlier this week when I looked at the when I saw that poster, because I had gone to the UFC's website to just look at what was coming up. And I think I just saw the poster for and I saw the co-main event. They had Diego Sanchez and Pereira, or whatever his name is. And when I seen that was the co-main event, and then I was like, wait, who else was on the card? Let me take a look. And then I saw they had Lando Venata versus Yancy Medeiros?
Yep.
They have Lando Venata versus Yancy Medeiros lower down on the card and not the co-main event. And you got this random dude that's
Man, what the hell is the UFC? Yo, I'm lost. I don't understand these marketing tactics. I don't understand it. Lando Venata, that is a fighter's fight. That is a fight fan's fight. For somebody, like, that's a fight that if you want somebody to, like, become a fan of the UFC, you watch that fight. Forget this other thing that they're doing with the backflips, okay? The guy isn't even good. Those two that's going to be unbelievable. That could be fight of the night. And you're not going to put that as a co-main event? When is the Lando fight not good? Man, the UFC, I'm lost, man.
I would have had Lando or Gassi as a co-main event, and I would have had Borg and Bartorin right before that fight, and I would have had Diego Sanchez and Pereira be the opener. Normally, in the opener, you want a name to be an opener. Like last week, they had Derrick Lewis and Latifi as the opener, whereas if you actually looked at the way the card played out, they probably should have been higher up in the – what are you going to say they should have been higher up? But they probably could have been moved up a fight or two. But when you do have a pay-per-view, you want a name to kick off the pay-per-view. The UFC has somehow found a way to overvalue Diego Sanchez. And then they undervalue this Lando Venata fight in, against Yancy Medeiros. You have to amp up the young guys. This is a chance to put Lando and Yancy in prime time position so people can get to know them better, get to see them fight on a big stage. You know, although Yancy Medeiros is a name, you know, I think it would have served him and Lando better being a co-main event, and you have Diego and Pereira open the pay-per-view. I just don't understand this love with Diego Sanchez, man.
I don't get it either. Just to jump in. I just, you know, you look at his record, his last big win was Jim Miller back in 2016. Because after that, he beat Mickey Gall. That's the biggest name I can give you, was the someone he beat. And that's just, I no disrespect to Mickey Gall. He's still, you know, he's still working things out, but like you guys were saying, switch that, because Lando Venata and Yancy is actually the opening fight for that card this weekend, and it shouldn't be. Like, I know it's going to be fun, fast action, but that should be a co-main event, because I don't want to be snoozing, you know, during the co-main event.
Yeah, I think for me, my stance on Diego Sanchez is he's punch drunk. I think he should... The UFC probably should look, if he gets violently knocked out again, I think they should look at probably forcing him to retire or releasing him. Because prior to this little run he done went on, he was getting knocked out a lot and taking a lot of damage in fights. And that's why I haven't been a fan of Diego Sanchez, because he was starting to remind me of Ben Lieber a little bit. Well, Ben Lieber would come in and be action packed, but probably in round two, he was going to be on his back sleep. So, but you know, that's the call. That's the UFC call. But we kind of went over tonight. I want to say thank you to my man, Evan, for calling in. And also, Evan is a member of the Scrap now with me and Keys. Evan, let me ask you real quick, man. How do you like being a member of the Scrap?
Love it, man. Honestly, it's definitely helping me with writing. I very much enjoy writing. As you guys know, as we're talking right now, I got passion and love for the sport of mixed martial arts. So working for the Scrap and being able to put my passion to words and let everyone else, you know, see that that's something very special that I will always be grateful for.
That's what's up. What's your closing words, Keith?
My closing words is the UFC's got to, like, fix the main events. I mean, the co-main events. So that's, like, the closing word for that, because I don't understand what's happening here with the card placement. It's getting, it's It's almost like they're making the cards and they're not like eating anything before they're making the cards, and then they're just going in, or like they're dehydrated or something and they're just not thinking right, and they're just like placing the card in like random order. So I don't really understand. Maybe like, you know, eat a Snickers or something like before you decide to like place the fights in order in the card. But yeah, so that's my closing thing for that. And the other closing thing is that I love y'all and thank y'all for listening. I appreciate the support. And thank you to Evan for coming on. Thank you to my boys Josh and Gabe for coming on earlier. That was a great talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I appreciate it. Love everybody. Have a great night.
Yeah, man. I got to say, shout out to Josh and Gabe for calling in. They were actually pretty good, too. They lent a lot to the show. I want to say check out the newest article I wrote on the Scrap today on John Jones' two title reigns. It's called John Jones, the Tale of Two Title Reigns. That came out today. Actually, I sent it to you, Keys. You were the first person I retweeted it to this morning. But thanks, Evan, for jumping on, man. Evan has been down with us since the early days, you know. And closing, like I always say, live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. Have one good laugh every day and tell somebody that you love them. That being said, Lee and Key signing out, episode 127. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
All right, go ahead.
I already said it.
Nah, go